second chapter of the book of Genesis. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word. We're going to start reading in verse number 23 once again tonight. We're going to read the last three verses. Second chapter. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, and shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." Let us pray. Father, once again, I thank you for the precious word of God, and I pray you'll help me tonight. Father, I need your power. Lord, I just need you to help me and empower me to preach what should be preached. And Father, we certainly pray for wisdom as we preach, and clarity of mind and thought and speech. And Father, that each and every one of us will receive and hear what the Word of God says. And Father, that we might be willing to follow the Word of God, do what it says, that our family and our home will be better for Thee than it had ever been before. We thank and praise You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I want you to notice in verse number 24 tonight, he says, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." Tonight we're going to bring a message which I've entitled, "Leave and Cleave." Leave and cleave. Now, if you'll notice in that portion of Scripture, that is what God says to do. Is that right? I mean, help me, folks. Come on. Is it right? Yes, that's what it says. Now, let's turn over to the book of Matthew. We know all of the Word of God is true. There is no doubt about that. And we know also that here in the book of Matthew, Jesus Christ, our wonderful Lord, our wonderful Savior, the precious Son of God, is speaking in Matthew, the 19th verse. Chapter. Did I tell you that? I'm sorry. 19th chapter of Matthew. 19th chapter. We'll start at verse number 1, Matthew 19. "And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these sayings, he departed from Galilee and came into the coast of Judea beyond Jordan. And great multitudes followed him, and he healed them there. The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said," "he answered and said unto them, Have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, For this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh." I want you to notice again in verse number 4, he told them that from the beginning God made male and female. He went back to the beginning. It was his purpose. It was his purpose that a man and a wife live together. They would be married and they would live together from that time on. That was the purpose and plan of God. You understand that? In the beginning, that was God's plan. That's the way he wanted it. That's the way he desired it. And let me say to you, that is his desire today. Okay? It is his desire. That's what he wants for us. Now, he says in verse 5 again, he says, "For this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh." Once again, he says, we are to leave and we are to cleave, right? He says we're to do that. And the purpose of that is that man and woman would be one flesh. Okay? We become one in Christ. We become one in marriage. Okay? That is God's purpose. That's what he wants. And he says we are to leave and cleave. I'm not going to turn over there, but you're familiar with the book of Ephesians, the 5th chapter. And once again in the 5th chapter, he tells us the very same thing. We are to leave and we are to cleave. Okay? So tonight, what I want to do is I want to preach a message on the subject of leaving and cleaving. I believe it's one of the great problems in marriages today. I think there's a lot of problems. But I think this is one of them. I think this is one of the basic problems that we have today in marriage. God planned for a man and a woman to leave and cleave one to another. Now, if you'll notice, the leaving, the purpose of leaving was to be married. They were to leave mother and father and be married. That was the purpose. Not because they turned 18. That was the purpose. God's purpose was, he said, when you leave and you will cleave to your wife. The purpose of leaving was for marriage. Okay? All right? You hear me? Hear what he said? Okay. Now, leaving involves direction, not rejection. You've got to understand something. When he talks about leaving, he is not just talking about physical leaving. He's talking about even the mental part of leaving. A man no longer is under his father and his mother when he gets married. He is now establishing a home of his own. He has now authority in his own home, and he has to establish that. So he has to leave the authority of his father and establish his own authority. That is proper. That is right. We know that it is not true that it would be just you've got to leave physically. You've got to leave because many of the houses of those days, when they built homes, when they one of them got married, they just go out and build on. I mean, they just build another section, and that's where they lived. But still, they established a authority of their own. Okay? Must do that. That's what God is trying to tell us. He is showing us that then we have to make the decisions. Once we leave to be married, we then have the responsibility to establish our own authority, and we then will begin to make the decisions of our home. Okay? Now this is important that you get a hold of this. This does not mean that you reject parents, but you leave their authority and establish your own authority, men. That doesn't mean you look down at your parents and said, "Well, I tell you what, I'm not coming back here. I'm getting out of the house. I'm getting out of the home. I'm getting away from you and leaving you." That's not what it's saying. But it is saying you must remove yourself from the authority of the mother and father, and you must go out to establish your own authority, your own home. The parent is no longer, once a child is married, the parent no longer has authority over them. Now you say, "Brother Ross, don't you think that they should hear, and don't you think they should take advice?" Well, I certainly do. I think they ought to hear the experiences of their parents and listening to the experiences of their parents, take advice from them, listen to it, but they must make the decision. I mean, I think it'd be foolish. I know if my dad was here, the older I get, the more I wish he was here, the more I wish I could go back and ask him, even at my age, I think sometimes, "Daddy, where are you? I wish I could come and sit down with you and talk to you." Because I say to you, they have, you know, gray hairs bring, you know, experience and things that we could learn from. So wouldn't it be foolish for us to just reject the advice and counsel of our parents? It's not what God is saying to us. But he is saying we are to leave the authority of our parents, and we are to go and establish our own authority. Men, if you'll notice that, he's speaking to you. We'll talk about that in a minute. But he's speaking to you. Leaving is directed by God. Now listen to me. Once a parent gives approval of marriage and allow their children to be married, they are no longer to continue to try to control their children. All you're going to do is you're going to cause trouble in that marriage if you do that. You say, "Brother Ross, is that hard?" Yes, it's hard. Every person here that has children that is married knows that that's a hard, difficult thing, because you want to look, you love them so much, you don't want to see them make mistakes. But let me tell you something, they're going to make them just like we did. Amen? And the thing about it is, we must understand that you cannot have control over your children once they are married. It's not for you to have that control. The Word of God says leave your parents and cleave. We'll talk about cleave in a minute. But we are to leave them. Again, please don't take that as and tell your parents, "Listen, I don't want to hear anything from you. I've already left you." Please don't do that. That's silly. That's foolishness. That's not using wisdom whatsoever. Learn from your parents. Listen to their counsel. But you still must make the decision. It's your decision to make. You must get their counsel and help and let it be a blessing to you. But it still must be your decision, because why? You have left. You are under your own authority. Now, I say to moms and dads, please, listen to this counsel from God's Word. God is the one who has directed the leaving. He's the one who put it down there. Amen? He's the one who said it. So remember, if God said it, He means it. So parents, listen. Don't try to interfere constantly with your parents. And especially, let me say this. If you have daughters, don't you try to run that life. Her husband is her authority. Her husband must be the authority in that home. He must be. Because why? God gave him the authority. Did He not? And you've got to remember that. When you interfere and start trying to take the authority of the husband who should have the authority, you are going to cause trouble in that marriage. Amen? So now listen, it's unscriptural for you to do that. God says he to leave his mother and his father. Does not it say that? Yes, it does. And cleave one to another. Now, if you'll notice, he is talking to the man. Man, leave father and mother and cleave to your wife. You say, oh, well, the daughters don't have to leave. No, you was already instructed to leave when you became submissive to your husband. They used to, in the Jewish marriages, they would have at least a year-long engagement. At the end of that year, the husband would leave his home, and he would take his servants and whoever he had with him, and they would make the long trip or short trip or whatever it was, and they would go to her house. He would get his wife, and they would take the long trip back. And after that, the marriage was consummated, and they would have the wedding vows and all of this. And then they were married. She already was instructed to be under submission to her husband. So what God is trying to do is saying, look, because a lot of times the men would remain around the same household. But he was saying, you've got to leave your husband, you've got to leave your father and your mother authority. They are no longer the authority. You are the authority in your home, and you must then become that authority, and you must leave, and you must cleave unto your wife. Okay? Now listen, I know in today's world, I think today's world has got everything messed up. So I know in today's world, what we hear out of young people is, boy, as soon as I get a certain age, I'm getting out of here. But that's not what the Word of God says. You mark it down. That's not what God says. And God doesn't say, at a certain age, 18 years old, buddy, I'm going to get out of here. I'm old enough now. Yeah, you may be old enough legally to get out of there, but that's not still what the Word of God says. The Word of God teaches us that the leaving is for the purpose of marriage. Okay? And then you begin to establish your own home and your own authority. Now, so he's talking to the husbands. And I want to talk to you just a moment. Wife, first of all, I want to talk to you. I think I've mentioned this before, but I want to kind of go back and talk about this. Marriage is such an intricate thing. And it's important that we get it right. There's a lot of hard feelings brought up in marriages and in-laws and things like this that are very, very unnecessary to be there if we would handle them right. Wives, let me encourage you something. Please listen to me. Please do not go back to your parents and begin to complain about your husband. Now, is your husband perfect? Oh, no. And neither are you. When you go back to your parents to complain, you are getting what you want, and that is sympathy. And parents, you make a big mistake when you give them that sympathy. Because let me share with you something, you have not heard both sides of the story. You have heard the one that you want to hear. Because you know what? Your little boy or your little girl just cannot do anything wrong. It would be impossible. They're too sweet. They're too precious. They have never done anything wrong. And if there's anybody done anything wrong, it has to be the in-law, the son-in-law or the daughter-in-law. I mean, it just has to be. Amen? Because yours would not do anything wrong. You say, well, but mine's different. No, yours isn't different. Your little sweethearts has got their problems just like everybody else has. Amen? So don't go back, wives, to your parents and begin to complain and tell them all of those little problems and troubles that you're having. And oh my goodness sakes, he won't even buy me a new dress. And he made me wear this same dress 3 times. He won't buy me a microwave. And I don't know what to do. And he won't buy me 2 TVs. I have to get out of bed and go in the front room to watch TV. And it's a mess. Amen. That's terrible. And you know, do you realize he's making me drive this old clunker around? Dad, when I was home, you let me drive your good car. And here I am driving this old clunker around, won't even hardly go. Gripe, gripe, complain, complain, complain. And most of that is nothing but foolishness. Now, if you had a Chrysler, you might have something to gripe about. I had one. I hope you understand I'm kidding. But what I am saying, ladies, why do you want to go back and complain to your mother and your father and gripe about the way your husband is doing and what he's all... You know what it is? You want sympathy. You want somebody to hug you and say, boy, I tell you, you got it rough. And that's not right. And moms and dad, when you give them that sympathy, you're wrong. Tell them to get back over there in that home where they belong and act like a grown-up wife and act like they should and begin to dig in and build a marriage. And let me say the same thing for the men. A lot of times we men, you know, mamas are something special when it comes to boys. Men can go home and complain and gripe to their mama and get sympathy. After all, I want to tell you right now, Mom, she expects me to pick up after myself. You always did that when I was home. That's what's the matter with him. Amen. She must love me, Mom. She offered up a burnt sacrifice to me the other day. And all the gripes and complaining and all of those things, you know, that are so terrible. It's just part of life. And even when we've got something that maybe is pretty serious or not so good, I want to tell you right now, you better be careful. There's a marriage to be built. And when you and I are to marry our wives and our husbands, the Bible says, men, leave your father and your mother and cleave to your wife. Amen? That's what God says. Amen? That's what God says. Are you hearing me? So we've got to be careful. And we, grandma and grandpas, have to be very careful. We have to be careful how we behave ourselves with our sons and our daughters and how we interfere in their lives. We've got to be very careful that we do not interfere. Give counsel? Give advice? Absolutely. I'll always give advice to mine until I'm 90 years old. But I hope that I do it in such a way as it's advice and counsel and not trying to tell them what to do. I trust that it will be. I try hard for it to be. When you was in the Army, if you was in the Army, Navy, Air Force, when you got a leave, a 30-day leave, I want to know something. Did you take that leave, stick it in your pocket, and go back to your barracks and sit? Do you know why they call it a leave? Huh? So that you leave. And that's exactly why God put in His Word, leave. And it's more than just physical, it's a mental dependence. Leave the authority of your mom and dad and cleave to your wife. Establish your own authority. That's why a lot of young couples are having trouble making it. I'm serious, because there's other people interfering. They won't let that young man grow up. Begin to establish the authority that he's supposed to have in his home. Remember something, and I'm serious about this. Your little darling has got his problems and her problems. Every single one of them do. You look at them as though they're little perfect angels. They are not. You understand that? Keep that in mind. Okay? Keep that in mind. Doesn't mean they're not good folk. Doesn't mean they're not fine folk. Doesn't mean that. But they're not perfect. And they've got a lot of growing and learning to do. And you'll help them do that by doing what the Bible says. In Genesis 12, turn back over there with me, please. In Genesis 12 chapter, I'll show you an example here. Without trying to read a whole bunch of scripture for sake of time, but in 12th chapter of Genesis. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy names great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarah his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Cana, and into the land of Cana they came. In verse number 1, God told him to get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, into a land that I will show thee. Now you know the scriptures, and I'm going to spend a lot of time on this because you know the scriptures. If you've read this, you know that Abraham really disobeyed. He took his father, and he also took, later on he took Lot with him, but he took his father with him to Haran, and he stayed there at Haran until his father died. Okay? Also then he took with him to, after he left Haran, he took Lot with him. Now this was against what God said to do. Okay? Now I'm not going to take a, you take time to do it, but in verse number 14, after, I'm sorry, in chapter 13, in verse number 14, after Lot and Abraham finally came to division, you remember that, and there was a problem, and Lot went to Sodom and Gomorrah and all of this, he left Abraham. Listen to what happens immediately after he left. In verse 14 of chapter 13, and the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, did you hear that? He put that in there. Okay. He said, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward, and all the land which thou seest to thee will I give it and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. And I'm not going to read any more, but basically the teaching here is simply this. God never really blessed Abraham like he wanted to bless him until Lot left. And you know why? Because God had instructed him to leave his family. And it was after Lot finally left, after his daddy died, after Lot finally left, we see, he says, now that Lot has separated himself from you, now I'm going to give you the land. In other words, I'm going to bless you. Why? Because now you're obedient to what I said. Now listen, what's happening? God will never bless a family like he wants to bless the family. I didn't say he wouldn't be blessed. There's blessings every day we get, but not like he wants to bless us until we mind what he says about leaving. He will not do it. God's blessing is upon our life, and certainly it is, and he cares for us and watches over us, but he has instructed us to leave our father and our mother and cleave unto our wife. That's an instruction from God. Amen. And the blessings of God will never be upon the family like it should be, just like it wasn't in Abraham's life, until that takes place. And let me say to you again, I say it's not just physical, it's mental. Because we have to come to that place where we say, look, I am no longer under the authority of my parents. I love them. I want to hear them. I want to get their counsel. I want to do all these things, but I must establish my home. And the wife says, I am under submission to my husband. I am not under submission to my mother and my father, my grandpa, my grandma. I am not under submission to them. I am under the submission of my husband. Amen? Then the blessings of God can come upon their life and that family. Okay? Now, if you want God's blessings, both must leave and cleave. Okay? You must leave and cleave. Love your parents, but leave them. He said, Brother Ross, you want me not go see them? Don't be foolish. Don't be silly. You know better than that. You know that's not what God's saying, because too many other scriptures tells us to honor our mother and fathers. Are we not to care for them and love them and appreciate them? Yes, we are. We certainly are. We're to treat them with kindness. And if I can tell you anything, give you any advice, ladies, love your husband's parents. If I could give you some advice, men, love your wife's parents. Love them. Appreciate them. Amen. Didn't say you had to agree with everything. Love them. Appreciate them. Okay? All right. Now, what is the second thing he says? He says, cleave. You are to leave. You are to cleave. Now, most of you probably know what this is. If you've been on the farm, you probably do. There's a U-shaped thing like this, and it has a hole in each end up here. And you put a bolt down through, and you hook things to a, like a tractor or something with it. Do you know what that's called? A clevis. That's right. And that's exactly what the word, the clevis, is, comes from the word cleave. You cleave something together. When I was a boy, and I realize they've got all kinds of three-point hitches and all kinds of things. Probably they're different than it was when I was a boy. But I remember I used to help a farmer, and everything that we hooked to a tractor was used with a clevis. We even hooked a plow. Instead of to a three-point view, I know that's been 10 years ago, but that's, we didn't have a three-point hitch back then. We hooked up to a drawbar with a clevis. That was a plow. We did manure spreaders that away. We did wagons that away. We did this that away. We did it with a clevis. And the word clevis simply means you are cleaving something together. Amen? You are putting something together. And God is saying to us that when we are married, we are to cleave, clevis, one to another. Okay? You got that? You got that picture? All right. Now, when you tie a knot in a rope, why do you tie a knot in two ropes? You know, you've heard the expression, they're going to tie the knot. What do they mean? You take two ends of a rope, you tie the knot into them, and they make one rope. They have been tied together. This is what God is saying to us. We are to leave and to cleave. We are to be tied together. A lot of times in marriage ceremonies, there's candles back here. The husband and wife will go up, take a candle that is lit, and they will go over to one candle setting here. It's a candle thing that we do sometimes in marriages. They'll take each lit candle, and they'll both put it on the one and light it, and then blow theirs out, and they become one. It's a symbol of what is happening in marriage. In other words, it's two becoming one. Okay? You may have had that in your wedding. I don't know. You may have had that. But that's what that symbol is. It is two becoming one. What does God say? God says He wants us to become one flesh. Amen? So we are clevis together. We are tied together. We take those candles, light one candle, and we become one. We become one flesh. And let me show you a truth. Back in the book of Job. First chapter of Job. Job, first chapter, and I'm going to start reading at verse number 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered thy servant Job? And there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught? Has not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath, so on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands and his substance to increase in the land. But put forth thy hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power, only upon himself put not forth thy hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Now I want you to notice that God gave Satan permission to touch everything that he hath, but not to lay hand on Job. You hear me? That's important. Now, I'm not going to read all this for sake. You already know what happens after that. He goes, and the Bible tells us that the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them, and the Sabians fell upon them and took them away. We also know that the fire of God has fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep. We also know in verse number 17 that the Chaldeans made out the three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away. We also know that a great wind come and blew, and their sons, his seven sons and his three daughters, died. Now, we know that Satan was given the power and the ability to touch everything he had. I want you to notice something in that portion of Scripture. You never ever see Job's wife mentioned. Do you know why? God said, don't you touch Job. And when you don't touch Job, you don't touch his wife, because they are one. Satan was smart enough to know that. Satan knew that when he had the ability to touch and the things that they had, he could not touch Job's wife, because Job and his wife were one. Now, the same scripture, and just in after that, you're familiar with that, he asked permission to touch Job and to take his health. And God gave him permission to do so. And if you notice right after that, he did do that. And also, you'll notice that Job's wife enters the picture. Job's wife says, curse God and die. Why did she enter the picture? Because not only did God give him permission to touch Job, which he did, and he took away his health, also the wife was touched, and she rose up in indignation. I'm not blaming his wife. If she would look out there and see her husband with all these sores and hurting and sore and terrible, she said, why don't you just curse God and die? But what I'm saying is, immediately, not only could he touch Job, he could touch his wife. Now, men, you better get a hold of that thing. You better get a hold of it good. You're not just dealing with yourself. You're dealing with your wife. Because you are one. And what affects you will affect your wife. You hear me? Do you hear that? Did God say we are to cleave one to another? Why? So that we will be one flesh. Let me encourage you. Let me say it again. Men, we had better be careful. We better make some decisions. We better decide. We better make sure that we rule our families right and do right, because what happens to us happens to her. Amen. We think we can do anything we want to do, do it any way we want to do it. It doesn't make any difference. The only body that's going to get hurt is you. No, 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 no. Remember, you are one flesh. Amen. And so God is trying to tell us that we are to cleave one to another. Leave and cleave. Men, I don't know what to say. Don't know how to tell you. But that means just what it says. We think we can go and do our own life. You know, the families of today is this. The wife goes out here and gets a job and goes her own way. The man goes out here and gets a job and goes his own way. And there's never, ever no coming back and cleaving one together and working one together. I mean, they're just gone off in a tangent. And she wants her career and he wants his career. And that's the way it is. And let me say to you, it'll never work. Because the principle of God is leave and cleave. You do it God's way and it'll work. You do it God's way and it'll work. Do you hear? Cleave one to another. You put a pipe together with a coupling. God is saying, you ever hear it talked about a couple? Why? Because we are coupled together. Coupled together. You know why? In a yoke of oxen. A yoke that they put on oxen. Don't you know why they do that? So they will work together. They will put a yoke on two oxen, and they work together. They are yoked together. That's what God is saying. Husband and wife, you are to have a yoke on you, yoked together, and you work together. You pull together. Why? Marriage is one flesh. Leave and cleave one to another. Men, love your wives. Wives, love your husbands. Remember who's the authority in your home, wives. Not your mom and dad. Your husband. Amen. I hope I can get an amen out of that. You understand that? No one else is your authority. Your husband is your authority. See. Now, just want to say a few things and we'll finish up here. Let nothing come between you. Cleave one to another. Sit beside each other. Love each other. And I'm going to say something, and young people, you can turn your ears off. Don't let your children sleep with you. Don't do that. Make that bedroom a very sacred place. Children do not need to sleep with their parents. Say, my children, they get scared and they're not, well, go in and be a blessing to them, help them and comfort them and do all that you need to do, but leave them in their bedrooms. Okay? That's advice. It's good advice. Amen? Because you do not want your children to come in between you and your wife. You say, well, don't we supposed to love them? Yes, you're supposed to love them. But you know what's going to happen to them, don't you? They are going to grow up, and they're going to do what the Word of God says. They're going to leave and cleave to someone else. And you're still back there cleaving to one another. Amen? Hear me? I want to tell you something. I've seen it down through the years. Whether you realize it or not, whether you've looked for it or not, I don't know. But I have. I saw it. Do you know there's husbands and wives tonight that are jealous of their children? Let me tell you what happens. Mama, the children, she spends so much time with them, and she grabs them and hugs them and kisses them and smooches them and hugs them and tells them how wonderful they are and cuddles them in her arms and all these things and spends her time with those children. But she never does her husband that way. She never does her husband that way. And a jealousy rises up. You say, oh, you wouldn't be jealous of your children. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. If you can hug your children and kiss your children and say sweet things to your children, can't you do that to your husband? I mean, amen? And vice versa. Men, sometimes we'll get wrapped around our little finger. Them little girls are especially good at it. I don't know about it. Sometimes the grandchildren, I don't care if it's boys or girls, they kind of wrap me sometimes. I had to be awful careful. I just love them. I wish I had 2 dozen more. I'm serious. I really am. I don't care. I really love having grandchildren. I wish I had more. But I want to tell you, you know, we men, if we don't be careful, we'll give attention to those little girls or those little boys, and we'll kiss and smooch and hug them and love them and say kind things to them, you know, and coochie-coochie them and all that. But we'll never do that to our wife. Why not? Why not? And because of that, there is jealousy that rises up. Let me tell you, I've dealt with it. You listen to me. There's jealousy that rises up in that. Okay? Do you ever notice the attention you give your grandchildren? Grandparents? Huh? Do you ever notice? I'm one, I know. Huh? Do you ever notice that? Wonder why you don't give grandma that attention. Why don't you give grandpa that attention? You hear what your pastor's saying? I'm simply trying to tell you, and I know some of it sounds silly, but listen, it's not silly. If you want to build a good, sweet marriage, you leave and you cleave unto that sweet wife of yours. And you love her, and you appreciate her, and you cleave to her. Why? It's the instructions of the Word of God. God said, do it. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I thank you again today for the wonderful grace of God, wonderful goodness. I ask you once again to take the Word of God, the things that you have said, and apply them to our hearts and lives. And Father, help us, oh Father, to do and mind what you said. There's no doubt about it. You have testified of it 3 different times in Genesis and Ephesians and the book of Matthew. You have told us to leave and to cleave. And Father, that's your word. It's your instructions. You help us as we follow and obey what you've said to do. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.